I've been asking the question for 30 years, why do people do what they do? You know, people often come to me sometimes and say, well, you know, hi, you're Tony Robbins. Well, I don't, you know, I think what you do is really good, but I don't need any motivation. And I'll say, well, that's great because, you know, that's not what I teach. And they look at me. I say, I'm the why guy. I said, you clearly don't need any motivation. You've got all the motivation in the world. My question is, what is your motive for action? Why do you do what you do? Why is it that you keep saying that you want to do this, but you never do it? In fact, you say you don't want to do something else like smoke or drink or overeat or sleep in, and yet you do it all the time. You're quite motivated to do the thing you say you don't want to do. And what happens is people usually get a little hooked. And I said, I can tell you the answer. It's an understanding that comes from three things: understanding human needs, understanding human beliefs, and understanding the emotions that you've become habitually addicted to, that you'll find a way to get to no matter what. These three filters affect us. Now, I'm going to come back to these, but let me say to you something maybe simpler first. If you want to know what I believe at the core level of what shapes human behavior, it's not our background. It's not our conditioning. Those play a role. It's not our internal conflicts. It's not whether we have enough friendly people around us creating an environment to help us to change. It's not what drugs are surging through your body. All that's quite useful. Don't get me wrong. It's not any of these things by itself. It's not just your meridians. It's your decisions. My core belief is this. It's not our conditions. It's our decisions that shape our destiny. It's in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped, and you're making those decisions even right now while you're listening to me speak. You're either blowing me off or you're saying, wow, this is some common sense. You've got me intrigued. I'm interested. Tell me more. I want to know how I can take what I see in the world that I don't like within myself or others, and I want to see how I can make a difference and change. If you're in that spot, we will continue. If not, you probably already hung up on me now, turned this darn thing off, and moved on to some really cool music. All right, so let's move on. So what are the three decisions you're making every moment of your life? You're making it right now as I speak. Decision one, and this is what shapes your destiny, what you focus on. See, we feel whatever we focus on. Where focus goes, energy flows. Now, people develop patterns of what they focus on. Some people's patterns to focus on the past. Some are on the future. Some is just on this moment. And whatever you focus on, you're going to change. If you started thinking about your life 10 years ago and some horrible event that occurred and you put enough focus in it, are you going to start feeling it? You bet you are. It's going to be in your body right now. Your biochemistry will change. Right? You can look at that from an energy psychology approach. You can look at it from a cognitive approach. You can look at it from a Freudian approach, but it's the same darn impact. Where focus goes, energy flows. Or some people focus on the future, and the future is horrible, the future is great, but it's a pattern. Some people's focus is always on themselves. When people are depressed, they have to be selfish. Think about it. You can't get depressed when you're helping other people. The only way you get depressed is focus on what you're not accomplishing, what you're not achieving, what you're not experiencing, how you're not doing enough for your kids, how you haven't accomplished it, how you're not enough. It's a me self-approach that allows us to be depressed. So if you focus on yourself constantly, we can predict some of your challenges. If you're always focused on others, you're going to have a very different life. If you have the ability to flex between them, you're going to have a more balanced life, quite obviously. So the focus is a critical component. I mean, you know, a simplistic example that I give in seminars all the time. So if you've heard this, I just give it to you again because it's such a simple and quick way of describing this. Have you ever had an experience where someone told you about a friend or a family member and they told you that they did something, they said something to harm you, but you know this friend or family member is loyal to you and they love you, and so your first response is, oh, you must have misunderstood them or you're wrong, but the person continues to tell you this story with passion and in depth and intensity. And at one point you start to go, wow, I can't believe they said this about me. Even though you weren't there, you know, this person seems to be so certain, you take it in. Now, when you focus on how they did you wrong, you immediately start having those feelings, don't you? Upset or hurt or angry or frustrated. It just comes immediately in the body. Now, what's interesting is you ever had this happen and got really upset with this family member or friend or what they did to you, and now you go to confront them and you find out that the person was dead wrong. They made it up or they misinterpreted what they told you, and then you felt like an idiot because you were so angry. See, focus equals feeling. So even if it's not true, it feels true to you. I always say to people is focus equals reality to the individual. If you focus on something and you think someone's late for dinner and you focus on the fact they're late because you imagine them being in a car accident, you're going to feel it. It's going to be real to you. If you focus on they're not here for dinner because they're out screwing around with somebody else, it's going to be real to you. Focus equals reality to the individual, even though it's not reality in actuality. Focus equals feelings. And every moment, you're deciding what to focus on. Now, the minute you focus on something, the second decision happens in milliseconds in your brain. It happens either consciously if you direct it or unconsciously if you don't. And that decision is, what does this mean? What does this mean? Somebody comes in and they start to use a loud voice and tell you what you should do. Does that mean they hate you? Does that mean they've abused you? Does that mean they're having a tough day? See, whatever meaning you create is going to instantly change how you feel about something. And feelings are the fuel of life. Feelings, human emotion, is the basis of a quality life or a painful life. That's what we're really shifting more than anything else. That's what fuels our behavior, our actions. That's what gives us the experience of our lives that we enjoy or that we dislike or even hate. If something happens and you focus on it, the question is, right now, is this the end or the beginning? If you decide in a millisecond this is the end, are you going to feel differently than if you think this is the beginning of a relationship? Are you going to behave differently from that emotion? You bet you are. Or if something that seems to happen in your life that's disappointing or frustrating or seemingly horrible, is it God punishing you? Or God challenging you? Or God rewarding you? Or does it have nothing to do with God? Is it karma? Is it, you know, you deserve it? If you think you deserve a pain or a problem, you're going to deal with it very differently than if you think this is you being challenged by God to become more, to give more, to create more. See, whatever meaning we give, that's what controls our life. Meaning is the answer. You want to know who one of my great heroes is in life? Pick up a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. You probably already have read it. It's an old classic, but if you haven't, you deserve to take it in. One of the great things that Viktor Frankl believed was that human beings always have free will. We can make a decision. We can choose to believe something new. We can choose to take another action. We can choose to feel the conflict inside of us and resolve that conflict, not just say I'm doomed for life by my biochemistry or by my childhood experiences. He's a brilliant man in this area. See, if we want to shift our life, we've got to shift what we focus on consistently, the means we give it, and the actions we take. Are you going to pull back as your action or move forward? Are you going to give up or break through? It's all a decision. So my belief is these three decisions shape your destiny. If you look back on your life, you can look at moments in your life where if you made a different decision, your life would be totally different today. Can't you? I mean, can you think of a situation where if you made a different decision, you'd be different physically or mentally or emotionally? You'd have a totally different relationship or career or life? We cannot deny when we're honest with ourselves that this power has been given to us by life, by God, by nature, whatever you want to call it. We have the power to decide anew. And in that free will, in that choice, in this moment, we can shift everything. What human need psychology brings to the table, I believe, is an understanding of what's controlling these three decisions in you. Because it's great to say, yeah, I got to focus on better things and I got to come up with better meanings and I got to take better actions and that'll all create better results and I'm going to feel better. But why do I make decisions the way I do? And how do I get to the controlling forces? What I've been passionately driven to find is what are the invisible forces that are controlling all of your decisions? And that's what's controlling your destiny. So let me take it to the next step. If we really believe that decisions shape our destiny, then what are the invisible forces that shape our decision? And I say invisible forces not to sound so mythical or overly dramatic, but if you think about life, the things that affect us most in life are invisible forces. Gravity, radiation, you know, love, joy, anger, frustration. These are all invisible, and yet they shape our lives more than anything that's visible. The visible parts of our life come from the way we utilize the invisible. So what shapes our decisions? Well, we're going to take two frames on this. First, what shapes our decisions in the moment? Have you ever done something or said something, and right after you've done it, you thought, why did I say that? Why did I do that? That was so stupid. Of course, yeah, we have too. And we've also, I'm sure, had times in your life, I have, where you've done something and afterwards you impress the heck out of yourself. It's like, I don't know how I did that, but that was in the flow, baby. I love that. Well, you're the same person. The only difference in what you focused on the meaning and feelings and actions you took, the results you produced. Moment to moment, it's based on the state you're in. Loving people get in angry states, and when they're angry, what do? They do things that reflect that anger, not the loving person they are. Honest people can be dishonest in moments if they get in certain states where they drop their standard for themselves. So the state you're in affects your life immensely. And a huge part of my work over the years, especially in peak performance, and how I help people to change in a moment, is identify the states of mind and body that they go into when they're at their best, and they show them how to trigger that, how to make that happen. And I find the states that are causing them to not make progress or causing them to behave in ways they're not proud of, and I show them how to break those patterns. Now, I'm not going to go through it in detail now, and if you're familiar with my work, I'm sure this is a fundamental that I teach, but just to remind you, if you're in an angry state, you're probably going to focus on things differently. You're probably going to come up with a different meaning. You're going to probably feel differently and act differently than if you're in a state of gratitude. That's not hard to figure out. How do we change those states? Again, if you're familiar with my work, you know I teach that there are three forces that shape your emotional state moment to moment. The three molders of meaning, which I call the triad. And there are three patterns. The way you're feeling in every moment is controlled first by the way you use your physical body, the pattern of physiology. Somebody who is very happy has a very different way of moving, breathing, speaking, facial expression, their body than somebody who is very angry. If you're depressed, you know what's happened. The body takes on a very specific posture, doesn't it? So you said there's somebody depressed over here behind curtain number one, and I'm going to give you $100,000 to your favorite charity if you can describe their physical body in detail without seeing them. Tell me what their posture's like. Could you do it? Of course you could. You know, what's their body like? Where are their shoulders? Slumped. Where's their head? Up or down? It's not hard to figure out. Down. Are they breathing full or shallow if they're feeling depressed? Obviously shallow. Are they talking loud and fast or more quiet and hesitant? Obviously quiet and hesitant. I mean, we can do this with people, with 10,000 people in a room, and everybody knows the answer because we've all felt depressed or down, and we have to use our body a very specific way to do that. Emotions don't just happen. We do them. We do them through patterns of physiology. The second part of your molders of meaning, or your triad that affects what you feel, is what you focus on, as we've already described. You know, if you're focusing on what you think's been done to you, you feel very different than if you're focusing on what you can give in this situation. Focus equals feeling. And then finally, the third thing that affects how you feel in the moment is your language patterns. Because when you have an experience, it changes when you add language to it. You're sitting on the edge of a cliff, and you're having an experience. The wind is blowing against your skin. You're looking out over the ocean. A seagull comes flying down by you, or a hawk. And as you watch it soaring, you're experiencing what you see. But then there's a moment when language enters into it. And you say, wow, that's an ugly seagull. Or let's say the hawk goes down and dives down and grabs a fish. And you say, oh, that's terrible. Or you say, well, that's beautiful. Or that's God. The minute you add words to it, beautiful, ugly, guided, a problem, horrific, you change what you feel. You've changed the experience. So language is a filter to meaning. You know, if you go through this huge experience in life, and some people develop the habit of using certain words or phrases, and they become hypnotic, they put us in a state. If every time something that you don't like happens, you go, there's God punishing me again, well, sure enough, after a while, you feel like there's something wrong with you, or you feel like you deserve it, or you feel angry. But if things happen that are uncomfortable, and you go, oh, that's just another lesson. Well, that's another opportunity. I mean, I'll give you a simplistic, funny example. I have a dear friend of mine, Ken Blanchard. He wrote those 1-Minute Manager books. I remember he was stuck in Africa. He was going on this trip, and they're out in the middle of the plains, and there's, you know, everything out there, zebras and elephants and obviously, you know, lions. And they ran out of fuel. And three of the people had different reactions. One was hysterical. Oh, my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. And the other person was angry. And Ken's response was, this is inconvenient. You know, and he wasn't being a joke. That's just his habit. And so since he uses that language so often, he isn't being cute. It lowers the intensity of the emotion. Do you get it? It changes the way you feel. So the three molders of meaning are the way you use your body, what you're focusing on, and the language you use. So these molders of meaning become habits. We get into certain states. And as I said before, some people's state that they live in most often is frustration, and they find a way to get there, or anger. Some people live in a place of awe. Very few people, but there are some. They live in this place of curiosity of, and a sense of grace or the beauty of life. It's a very different life depending upon which filter you use, isn't it? And whichever triad, whichever filter, whatever state you go into most often, it affects your decisions. It affects what you focus on. It affects what things mean. It affects what you do. It's like a cycle. The state you're in affects the decisions you make. The decisions you make affect the state you're in. That happens moment to moment. So very often, if I want to help someone to change, rather than talking to them about some cognitive principle they have in their head or some thought process, I'll just change their body. I'll make a shift. Shift their breathing, get them to do something they're not used to doing. And you take somebody who's depressed and say, you know, come with me on a walk. And in the walk, you begin to direct and change their body, and they feel better after the walk. And they're able to now focus on something new. They're able to come up with a different way of looking at things. So there are many forms of intervention here. You know, people in the somatic approach would say, you're feeling the way you do because of your biochemistry. Well, your biochemistry can be changed by a shift in breathing, by demand in your muscles, by a movement. And it can be shifted in so many ways. If you want to know the most powerful drug that most people consume, it's what they eat each day. And yet most of us are completely uneducated and don't look at its impact on our blood sugar and our emotion and where we're shifted. So it's so easy to shift someone by changing their physiology or changing their focus or changing the pattern of questions you ask them. Because whatever you focus on, questions are the language that change your focus. And what you focus on changes the way you feel, which affects your body. So again, I'm not trying to give you a whole lesson in the triad, but just know this. If the decisions you make shape your destiny, your decisions are powerfully shaped by the state you're in. And the state you're in each moment is shaped by these three forces: pattern of your body, pattern of focus, pattern of language. If you're angry, you're going to make different decisions than if you're feeling grateful, as we said before.